until 3, this is Darren DeMello on 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And the lines are open for your pet-related questions or animal-related questions generally. We've got Dr. Mel Criddle from Swanbourne Vet Centre with us. G'day, Mel.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Not bad.
That's good.
I say vet, but pet too. I say pet, but I mean animal as well, because I don't know how many people have necessarily got magpies, but we were talking magpies earlier.
I know. I
and bird-related incidents. What's the official line on what? Because Rod called in to say, have some mints that you can throw at them, which isn't always practical.
I know, and I agreed with Gemma. I know that dogs, so there'd be a fight on then for the mints between
that's
the
bear right.
and the dog. I guess, interestingly, the Australian Veterinary Association have put a media release out, certainly warning people that sweeping season has well and truly set in. And, I've got some bird that likes to sweep me every time I go up to check the mail. So definitely out and about. I guess their tips are things that you guys were talking about, wearing a hat or carrying a stick or an umbrella, cyclists wearing a helmet. They suggest drawing a pair of eyes and attached to the back of hats and helmets.
That's something I've seen is the helmets with the bits of cable tie.
Yeah, I've
poking
seen that.
Up.
I saw a lady riding the other day and she had these sort of like looked like little antenna attached to her helmet. So I thought, that's a good idea. They're certainly not advocating, harming the birds in any way.
No, I don't think anyone would.
No, but, not at all. So don't throw, sticks or stones or anything like that. But they can be vicious little things.
They can.
They want to be.
And I've seen them have a go at dogs too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually potentially quite amusing if you're not involved in the process.
Yeah, I know.
It can look quite funny.
But we certainly do see dogs come in with little wounds and skin disease developing because they're just getting constantly swooped.
I'm not surprised. So look, 9221882 if you've got a question about your pet or something animal related that you want to ask of Dr. Mel Criddle here, or 19999677 if you want to send us a text. Don't wait until it always waits. Wait till the end, people.
Oh,
always just get in now. Bill, in fact, is on the line from Les Murdy. Hello, Bill.
Hello there.
Hi, Bill.
Good to have you aboard. You want to talk magpies?
Oh, yes. I had a property and magpies, when we first went, they used to swoop and so forth. And I had a cat and a dog, or two cats and a dog, and one of the cats was frightened of the dog and used to get up on the roof all the time, so he used to put the dog food, or the cat food, in a bowl to feed the cat in the gutter. And the magpie got so used to the cat, the food being there, he used to jump along the gutter right up to the cat, eating the food out of the bowl, and used to pinch the food out of that bowl while that cat was still eating out of it.
While the cat was both of them feeding out of the same bowl, I wish he'd gotten pictures of that.
I wish I did too. And every now and again, the cat would give the magpie a whack, and the magpie would jump back and keep on coming back. Yeah, it was funny to watch, cat was. The cat finishes food and, the magpie, they'll have a look and away they go. Yeah, it was stunning, really.
I love watching animals interact. I mean, and at the same time, it reminds me of our littlest cat when it was little. I mean, this is the one that we fostered that we had to get up to size. So it was a little one.
Yeah.
Trying to stalk enormous crows. And I'm there going, they're bigger than you are. Like, what do you think you're going to do if you find one? But I love the fact that there are occasions here, like Bill's talking about, of magpies and cats interacting.
Yeah. That reminds me, we had an elderly cat as well, and the doves used to come and eat her biscuits, and we used to joke and sit there going, she's just waiting to fatten them up before and bait them so they're so big they can't fly, and there's dinner. But
who would have thought? So our oldest cat is one that I think at best he would possibly chase a butterfly.
Yeah.
He was just not in. I remember there was a time when a crow misjudged a door and flew straight into our house.
Yeah.
And he's leapt off of the couch and then not known what to do. He's just kind of looked and gone, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know how to get this bird out of the house either. Actually, that's probably a good thing to talk about. I mean, he was never the one that was inclined to do that. But what about if you've got a cat that brings things home?
Yeah, I know.
What are you supposed to do when they bring birds inside?
Well, I guess the first thing would be to make sure they're not injured and that sort of thing. We've had three birds arrive at the clinic in the last 24 hours, I don't think any of them were being attacked by owners' pets. I think they were just found and actually being picked on by other birds. But certainly when they arrive, at home and perhaps they look a bit injured, then we, we're certainly happy to accept them, and I think most vet clinics are. We generally then will assess them, and then if they're, suitable to be sent off to a carer, we'll certainly endeavour to arrange that.
Okay.
But it's always hard, I suppose that's why they've introduced the cat legislation and responsibility. Responsible pet ownership ownership and that sort of thing to try and minimise, you know, the damage to wildlife and that, because they certainly like to bring home the presents for
you,
don't they?
Well, yeah, as it turns out, one of our cats doesn't, but one did. I mean, and it didn't matter how many bells we would put on him. We were actually part, there was a study that was being done, I think, I think it was Murdoch or one of them was doing a study into various coloured collars and what they can do to ward creatures off.
Yep.
And so, I mean, we tried that and, you know, we had him sounding like Christmas.
Yep.
And still, he would somehow manage to stalk birds.
I've had clients tell me three bells on the collar and the cat will still, like, you know...
Yeah, they can hold it down or something.
...crunch its neck and hold them down and still manage to stalk and be successful in their hunt. So I guess this is where, you know, cat enclosures and sort of perhaps those sorts of cats are better kept indoors.
You know, in the end, and he's putting on a bit of weight now.
Yep.
He doesn't get out and run around. He's a bit like the rest of us. But...
Yep.
I mean, that's what we've wound up having to do. Is that, you know, they're just easier that way.
Absolutely.
And you see, it's surprising. I mean, that's one of the things that I suppose we should probably ask about is, you know, what are the? Do you need to contemplate changing diets and doing things to try and up the activity level if you're going to make your cats indoor cats?
Yeah, absolutely. And once they've been accustomed to their outdoor lifestyle, some of them will drive you crazy to sort of go back out there if you're trying to, you know, change it up a bit. Equally, people who have gone from a house, you know, perhaps to an apartment-style living and the cat, you know, just hasn't got the outdoors that they used to have. So there's certainly lots of things available you can... I guess with diet, you ask about diet, certainly perhaps considering a diet that's more tailored to a sedentary lifestyle. So not necessarily senior as such, but just something that's perhaps got less calories because they're not doing as much activity as they used to do.
Would possibly apply to the owners as well, to be honest. I mean, you know, shame we don't get food for more sedentary people.
I know, it'd be easy, wouldn't it? And then there's lots of toys and you know, treat balls. You can actually, I saw yesterday, there's a new sort of treat ball on the market for cats that you put a bit of catnip in the top and then the treats, not the treats, are food, they're actual biscuits, and they actually, you know, have to roll it around and hunt and sort of, you know, find their food that way. And that certainly gives them a bit more environmental enrichment at home.
Stops them going crazy and ruining
absolutely.
Things
Absolutely. Gives
the
them
house,
something to do. Absolutely. Yeah. You can get the laser light
toys. The laser lights are great. I don't know any animals that don't
very
like
busy.
It.
I know.
I don't know if it's like it or get incredibly frustrated by it, but it seems to animate them, that's for sure.
I know, and I've bought for my parents' cat one that's, you know, on a timer and it does all different directions, so you don't even have to
sit there
and do it yourself.
You've got a light display happening in your house. Mm-hmm.
And keeps the cats very, very entertained.
Listen, don't leave it all up to me here to be asking the questions, but I will, because, you know, I've got two cats and I will keep asking questions about them. So listen, if you've got a question about your cats, your dogs, we'll often ask about what the most unusual pets that come through or animals that come through your door might be.
I know, and I suppose we're sort of... The unusual pet vet would probably answer that one a lot better than we do.
So are there kind of like specialist ones that do all of the more exotics?
Absolutely, and they're fantastic.
I hear people of stories, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Bailey, one of the comedians in the UK.
Yeah.
He's got some variety of monkeys.
Mm.
Like, do people do that? Are there people?
No. Well, not that I'm aware of, only the zoo.
There's only so far you can go when
that's
it comes
right.
to exotic
yeah.
animals here.
You need, you know, you still need permits and stuff to have reptiles and that sort of thing. So, no, I don't think that extends to monkeys and them at the moment. But I guess, I mean, we see a fair amount of, you know, rabbits, guinea pigs, mice, rats, birds.
I suppose they're right. We're moving into reptile territory.
Yeah,
those.
Absolutely. And they, you know, they certainly require really specific needs, you know, with their temperature and feeding and lights and all the rest of it. So certainly that's a little niche that we perhaps haven't entered into so much at Swamp, you know, specifically at Swanbourne, but we can certainly assist, and we generally suggest, you know, clients take their pets to the unusual pet vet because they're all geared up to deal with those sorts of little animals.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, look, maybe you've got a question about a horse. I mean, who knows? 92211882 is the number. Dr. Mel Criddle from Swanbourne Vet Centre is here till 2. So give us a buzz. 92211882 or you can SMS 19999 677. We're talking vets.
Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness is all about helping you live a healthier and more enjoyable life. This week on the show, our experts are here to help you. Australia's favourite fitness trainer, Michelle Bridges, is back to answer all your questions about getting fit and staying fit. And our pharmacist and herbalist, Joel Quigley, takes your calls as well. Get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous with the House of Wellness.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. The House of Wellness. Every Sunday morning at 6 on 882 6PR.
You know you can trust RAC Roadside Assistance to get you going when you break down. So trust our car servicing to keep you going. At RAC Auto Services, we only complete work with your approval. And each service comes with a comprehensive safety check and free wash and vacuum. Plus RAC members save 10% off labour. That's the power of membership. Visit rac.com.au/service to book a service today at one of our 9 metro centres. RAC Auto Services. For the better. MRB 935.
Hey, truckies. Do you know the biggest range of quality parts and accessories for trucks, trailers and buses is at Truckline? And right now at Truckline, you can buy 2 20-litre drums of Castrol RX Plus and get an extra 5 litres free. 5 litres free when you buy 2 20-litre drums of Castrol RX Plus? Now that's a deal that'll really get your motor running. Hurry, available for a limited time only. Talk to our experts at Welshpool, Midvale, Spearwood or any other Truckline store today.
What you really need is a four-door standard.
I reckon you can't go wrong with a four-wheel drive.
With a heated leather seat.
Go for the car with the biggest cup holders.
When it comes to cars, every man and his dog thinks they're an expert. But one thing people on the know can all agree, it's hard to top the Hyundai Veloster. It's a sports car that stands out from the crowd. And you can get the cutting-edge Hyundai Veloster from just $27,990 drive away with a free auto upgrade. Talk to your Hyundai dealer today.
Place your order when you're ready.
Yeah, what do you get with the Unreal meal?
You get a lot of sugar, saturated fat, heaps of kilojoules, the kind of thing that leads to toxic fat, which gives you a greater chance of heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and fatty liver disease.
Right.
Oh, and a little towel to wipe the grease off your fingers.
Oh, nice.
It's time to stop and think about what's really on the menu when it comes to junk food. Find out more about the better choices at livelighter.com.au.
At Target, we've lowered our prices on thousands of products throughout the store. Like the Nutribullet 9-piece set was $149, now $99. That's $99. Now at Target. See in store for details.
After a long, cold winter, is your pool in need of some care and attention? There's no better way to escape the heat than a swim in your backyard swimming pool. Get your pool ready for summer now by visiting spazawa.com.au to find your nearest pool shop or mobile technician and be ready for the long, hot summer ahead. For peace of mind, only use a member of the Swimming Pool and Spa Association of WA. Don't risk it. Use a Spaza member. SPASAWA.com.au.
The discount tile shed spring clearance is on now with the lowest prices ever. A huge range of tiles below cost from just $10 per square meter. 2 weeks only. Ends 22nd October. Open Monday to Saturday. Corner Marmion and Mallon Streets, Myoree.
Now on 882 6PR, this is Darren DeMello.
It's Vet Talk time here. Dr. Melanie Criddle is with us from Swanbourne Vet Centre. And if you've got to ask, if you've got something you need to know, 92211882 is the talkback line. You can send us a text on 19999677. And I've got a question here on the tweets. You can always do it at 6PR if you want to get a question through that way. But, you know, there's no harm in calling. You know, we're not going to bite. 92211882. Question here, and I'm not even going to pretend I know who the person is. I can't work it out from that hashtag. How do I stop my 2-year-old cane corso, a 57.2-kilo cane corso, from eating / stealing my 2-year-old boy's toys?
I know. Welcome to my world. Yeah, it's the Cane Corso, which is a big Italian mastiff. You know, they're quite big dogs. Now, I suppose it's not specific to that breed. It's certainly something we see, you know, with a lot of dogs. That is a really challenging one. And the main thing that I generally suggest is you've always got to set up. The dog has to have their toys and then your two-year-old has to have his toys.
Right.
Because the dog can't really differentiate between, you know, the two-year-old's toys, that if his toys look similar to your two-year-old's toys and if they're kind of sharing. So the main thing is to really separate and have, you know, the dog toys for which, you know, is only brought out and encourage, the dog's encouraged to play with them. Bit like, you know, you don't want to give your old pair of slippers to the dog because they're not going to know whether it's the old pair or the new pair. So they're just going to chew any shoes.
Right. Yeah. So I've never even thought about that. So they will automatically love to chew shoes.
Yeah,
just don't give them to.
Just don't give them shoes. Because they're going to think any shoes are fine. So certainly, yeah, really trying to differentiate. And it can be hard because your kid's got lots of soft teddy toys.
Really easier not to have kids. Is that what you're saying? So there's no confusion between the toys.
I look back now, I've got bits of Lego and bits of that Meccano stuff. And it's like the dog's had a turn and then, you know, obviously my daughter still played with it. So,
I didn't mind doing a bit of chewing when I was a kid too. So, you know, I can understand that they could probably get chewed by all sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. My best advice is really differentiating. And then, you know, if you can catch the dog in the act of chewing or stealing the toy, mm-hmm. take it off them, but then give them something they are allowed to do. So turn it around and teach the dog or show the dog what they can play with. Yeah.
Got a question for our vet. 9221 882 is the number Phil in Sorrento does. G'day, Phil.
How you going?
Hi, good. Phil.
Hi. My friend's got a dog and it just doesn't chew its food. It just swallows it. Almost whole.
He
ended up in vet hospital last week. It cost him nearly $8,000 to cut him open and
remove it.
About.
Yeah. What sort of?
They found all the food nearly in its original state.
Yeah. What sort of food is he ingesting, Phil?
It was rice, chopped up chicken, meat, beef.
All good stuff, but just without chewing, it's not great for anything, is it?
Yeah. It's unusual.
She thinks it's because it was a rescue dog and it's scared that the other dogs are going to get its food.
Yeah.
It's like it's got an anxiety attack about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certainly, you know, food aggressive dogs or ones if they've been starved at all or if they've come from large litters where there's been a lot of competition for food, they'll certainly woof it down very, very quickly and not, you know, spend the time chewing and then, you know.
I wonder what my excuse is.
One suggestion, Phil, I don't know whether this would work so much with, you know, bits of rice and all the rest of it, but you can certainly get bowls that have little spikes up through it that just basically help to slow down the ingestion of food and perhaps get the dog to just work a bit harder and spend more time.
Spikes up through it? Whereabouts?
Like plastic, sort of like spokes, sort of, you know, so in the bowl.
Yeah.
And there's, up through the centre of it.
So the dog has to just be a bit more careful
about
the way
they bite. They've got to sort of lick around, forage around and get these bits of food. Otherwise, for dogs that do perhaps, I mean, I guess I'm just listening to you and thinking that it needed surgery and having to have that all removed. I'm wondering whether there might be other issues going on with that particular dog, Phil. But perhaps feeding smaller meals more frequently might also assist if we can't change his behaviour on how he's actually eating the food. He's just doing smaller amounts on a more frequent basis.
What about if I add a lot more water and make it like soup type?
Yeah, absolutely, because that may well slow down how quickly he is ingesting all of this and certainly may also assist with the passage of the food moving through. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, no worries. Thank you.
Worth a shot, Phil. Thank you for your call. 9221 882. I mean, it's as much potentially, like you say, it's something that comes as a psychological kind of condition, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can stem from, when they're really little and, large litters, where there's lots of competition and a few might have missed out. So they're, they're in, they're going, oh, my gosh, this could be my last meal and they eat. Or if they have experienced starvation before, then they tend to see food and just woof it down.
Fairly motivating factors, I could imagine that changing.
And become quite aggressive, another dog comes past and they can become quite guarding and aggressive of the food.
I don't pat my cats when they're eating.
Because they might turn on.
Well, you just never quite know. They're not in a great mood.
No, and
point.
I always tell my daughter, when the dog's eating, stay away, it's his food. You know, he's never shown any issues, but it's something that, I don't know. Yeah,
they think differently, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I'll talk about this in a tick. 9221 882 if you want to ask a question of Dr. Mel Criddle from Swanbourne Vet Centre. Gino in Como, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What can we do for you?
Yeah, well, good afternoon. I have a Japanese Spitz. She's a lovely dog.
Yeah.
12 years old almost.
Yeah.
But he always gets this issue with an infection in his right ear.
Yeah, yes.
And he keeps his ear down all the time, and he's constantly shaking his head and trying to get the whatever is in there out.
Yeah.
I did ask a vet once when we took him to have a look, and they said that basically the only thing that they could do is actually remove his ear catcher.
Yeah.
But that's a massive operation.
It's big one, yes.
So I was wondering whether you had any idea what I could use to make his life a bit more less uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely, Gino. I guess, can I ask, has he been to the vet recently and had his ears checked?
Yeah, we would, I think last time, well, about 3 months ago.
Okay, all right.
And it was fine.
Yep.
But cool. He gets it all the time.
Yeah.
Regardless whether it could be food or water in the ear or anything that he picks up while we go for a walk, I don't know.
Well, what tends to happen, Gino?
The vet said that...
Oh, you go, sorry. You go. No, no, you go.
You know, the vet said that it's this kind of dogs are quite well known for getting disease infections.
They are, and I guess what I was going to say, Gino, is once they get one ear infection, what happens is the natural immunity of the ear, which involves little hairs that run down our ear canal to help keep the gunk and discharge and everything out, they get wiped out. Yeah. So after a dog has had one ear infection, they are prone to getting them again and again and again. So this is a really frustrating issue for so many owners out there. It's just trying to keep these ears, under control and maintain quality of life.
And is it like just one of those maintenance kind of things
it
that it becomes?
It is. So I know, Gino, I guess removing the ear canal is it's expensive, it's fairly drastic.
Really drastic.
I know, but for the dogs, I guess sometimes, we can't, some dogs are just on constant antibiotics, constant, anti-inflammatories and their quality of life even with that can be poor. And so we resort to removing the ear canal because then the problem goes away and the dog is so much better. But listening to Gino, if he's not at the vet sort of every second week, and things are kind of tracking along okay, I guess I'd come back a step and maybe suggest what I would be suggesting is definitely going back to the vet, now and just having a check to make sure, because it's springtime, making sure that there's no infection that's set in, no grass seed or anything down there, making sure the eardrum is intact and all that sort of thing. Then I'd be having a chat to your local vet about perhaps utilising a regular ear cleaning product, for which I sometimes add a little bit of cortisone to it, and cortisone is a wonderful anti-inflammatory.
And what sort of things, are they kind of sprays or are they
you
just
can
kind
get a
of
spray
wipes,
it's a little liquid, you pour it into the ear canal, give it a little bit of a rub, the dog will shake its head, but thereby you're keeping the ear nice and clean, but a little bit of cortisone in there, provided there's no infection, a little bit of cortisone will just help to settle down the itchiness and make the dog a lot more comfortable. So perhaps doing that on a weekly, twice weekly basis can really improve their quality of life. Equally, utilizing any histamines and other supportive sort of anti-inflammatory medications as well can be beneficial, but I'd definitely have a little checkup at your local vet and just sort of get an up-to-date state of play as to where you're at and then go from there.
All right, Gino, hopefully that's some help for you, mate. 9221 882. If you want to talk anything animal-related with Dr. Mel Criddle here from the Swanbourne Vet Centre. Actually, speaking of itch-related things, Mel, we are getting around to, spring.
Yes.
And that kind of brings its own set of dramas, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that are feeling a little bit of hay fever and seasonal-related joy.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. No, it's a busy busy time of year for us at the clinic. Lots of itchy dogs, lots of fleas, lots of grass seeds, all that sort of stuff. So the important thing to, I guess, make people aware of is definitely things that can be done to assist your pet and improve their quality of life, because just to talk allergies quickly, there's not really a cure. It's all about, again, it's a management thing. So there's definitely and things we can do and new medications available as well to really improve their quality of life.
Okay, so there are certainly solutions.
Sometimes it requires a bit of effort on an owner's point of view.
Medication in pets generally does, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, 9221 882 if you've got a question that you want.